welcome to the latest episode of the Level 9 podcast. As always, I'm joined here with Alex. Alex, what have you been playing recently?
I have been playing same old, Football Manager. I kind of played a little bit of Outriders, not too much, but that's free on Game Pass. I gave it a little shot. My friend and I know we were supposed to stream It Takes Two, but we haven't got around to that yet. But my friend and I have been playing that a little bit. So,
oh, how is it?
I'm really enjoying it. It's really weird, but in like a charming way. So it's exciting. I don't want to spoil too much. Obviously, we're planning on playing that eventually once I get the streaming set up properly. Yeah, I've been enjoying it a lot. So how about you? What are you playing?
Well, speaking of streams, I started the streaming page on the PS5 for the podcast, and I've been streaming through Ghost of Tsushima for the first time, and I've been having a great time playing that. I played it when it first came out, and I just couldn't get invested in it, and then I think a week or so ago, I started playing it, and I've just been dived right into that, like everything. The gameplay, I love, the combat, the visuals, just even the story. I'm upset that I haven't been playing this sooner.
Yeah, Ghost of Tsushima kind of caught my interest, but at the same time, I'm like, I heard it was kind of like a Souls difficulty kind of game. I was like, oh, not my style. But then I tuned in a couple of your streams, and I was like, oh, you know what? This seems like a type of game that I could probably play. Since I'm right on my alley, it's like, Mongolian invasion in China and Japan or something like that, or China, one of those. I think it's Japan, right? Because you're samurai.
That's one of the things I was worried about, too, was the difficulty level, just because I'm not a Souls kind of guy. I don't want that much of a difficulty that you get with Dark Souls, but I mean, I play on, I believe it's there's easy, normal, and I play on hard, and it is difficult, but it's not crippling me where I just want to throw the controller down and stop playing.
Okay, that's good to know. I might, when I get my PS5, that might be a game I have to go back and revisit, yeah, because it's definitely right up my alley. Like, I'm a huge history guy, so it's kind of touching base a little on those points, and feudal Japan is so interesting, so be kind of cool to go back and touch base on that. And it's just a beautiful looking game. Like, you can see our screenshot on our Twitter that you posted.
Yeah, I took that last night, and I just, every few minutes, I find myself stopping and just looking around for a few seconds and just in awe how good this game looks.
Yeah, that was me with Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I was just like sitting there, and I was like, oh, you know what? I really enjoyed the look of this game. So I just took some time to look into the scenery. But there's a new picture mode in there. Have you tried that at all? Kind of make it look like an old school Japanese film.
Yeah, the black and white mode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did try that. It definitely looks like a movie. There's a few modes. There's like a blood red mode you can do too, which is terrifying. But yeah, the black and white mode, I have tried for a few minutes, not really played much of, but I think once I beat the game, if I go back into it, I'll replay it entirely in black and white just to get that sort of Japanese movie feel.
That's good, yeah. Yeah, that's something that kind of caught my eye. I was like, oh, I wonder if more games will do this, because, you know, games nowadays are looking really good, and I think photo mode should be included in a lot of games that like look good. I mean, it's always optional, but there's some parts in the game where you just want to take a pause and take a nice little picture, you know.
I think we got a lot of PlayStation news today.
Yeah, lots. I mean, I guess you could say there's a break in like some pretty big significance.
Yeah, PlayStation released a notice saying that they are closing the PlayStation 3 store on the 2nd of July this year, and the PlayStation Vita devices on the 27th of August. And additionally, the remaining purchase functionality for the PSP will also retire on the 2nd of July.
That's an end of an era.
Yeah, and then I even read somebody tweeted saying some PS Vita developers weren't properly warned that PlayStation Store would close, and one even canceled a project because of it. And that I have so many questions about that tweet.
Yeah, I didn't hear that. Did they say what kind of company was it? Or I guess they didn't reveal any information, but that would suck to be a developer and like just, you know, working on a game for all these years and putting your heart and soul in a game, and it's like, oh yeah, gotta cancel it, sorry.
Yeah, in a DM to IGN, I'll just read the list here. Barry Johnson from Lilimo Games says that the studio was not warned about the closing of the Vita store in any way. And Johnson says they purchased a second Vita dev kit just last month.
Oh, that hurts.
That's
quite shocking, actually. That's kind of, if that's true, which I mean, obviously it sounds like it is, that's kind of a shady move by Sony.
I mean, I'm intrigued to see like what they have planned with the Vita, because I mean, I don't think there's been a game released on that in like the past, like, what, 6-7 years, maybe?
No, I actually think there's a new game coming out. I think it's called like Stormbringer or something. That's a PS Vita exclusive. That's
really
I believe that's what it's called. But there's still games coming out for the Vita that I'm pretty sure. There's a brand new one that's supposed to come out in 2021. Yeah, I look up PS Vita games 2021. There's actually, it says it's top five PS Vita games looking forward to in 2021. Hearth 4, Felicia, Unmetal, Sense, a Cyberpunk Ghost Story, Laser, and Habrosia. But there's another one that...
It looks like the marketing is just kind of thrown in the towel with that, because I haven't heard a single thing about a Vita game since, I don't know, what, 2015 maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I just thought Vita was kind of... I thought Vita was already dead, but I was listening to Kind of Funny the other day, and they mentioned that there was another game coming out exclusively for PS Vita, so I don't know. I forget the title. I'll have to go back and listen to the episode and let you know, but I forget what it's called.
I would love a third PlayStation portable device to come out. I just think that was way ahead of its time. I had the PSP and the PS Vita, and I spent hours playing both, and then, like most problems that people have, with the console, there wasn't a lot of games for it aside from like maybe Call of Duty and God of War and Resistance.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed my, I never used the PS Vita. I used the PSP, but I really enjoyed it. That was kind of my way of getting into Sony without kind of buying a PlayStation. I had PSP and I really enjoyed the PSP. I'm just looking at the title now. It says Scourgebringer will be the final PS Vita game released digitally. It's available April 2nd, 2021.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, that's interesting how they are still developing games. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not really upset about the move by PlayStation to close down the stores.
It makes sense. I mean,
it leads me to believe that they have some sort of plan with backwards compatibility in the future. But, I mean, I haven't bought a PS3 game in since, like, what, 2013, 2014. So I have a PS5 now. I'm not really looking to play games that I was playing, you know, 9-10 years ago. So
right. It's like, this obviously doesn't mean that PS3 games won't work. It just means you can't buy them digitally anymore. Like, if you see one physical, you can still buy it and pop it into a PS3. It just means you just can't go to the store and buy them digitally anymore, which, I mean, it makes sense. Like the PS, I believe the PS Store originally came out on the PS3, right? Like, I don't think the PS2 had the PlayStation Store. So, I mean, they're already two generations over, which is, what, almost 14 years. Mm-hmm. There's normally a generation of 7 years. So it makes sense to close down that one and kind of keep it updated. But I do agree. I think you will probably see some backwards compatible come in. I mean, they have to do it at some point, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, if this leads to Metal Gear 2, 3, and 4 making an appearance on the PS5, I will have to download that. But I mean, there's not many others that I would really spend the time going back into, really.
Like that was kind of the era where PlayStation didn't have like they have banger exclusives right now. I mean, they sell some good exclusives, but they're exclusive. Like, I feel like Xbox had more exclusives in that generation than Sony did. Obviously, that's changed big time, but I feel like this 360 and the PS3 were kind of going head to head, and I feel like Xbox had the better exclusives anyway. So, I mean, it's not really that much of a...
Yeah, the PlayStation 2 had, I mean, hundreds upon hundreds of titles, and then the PS3 just kind of fell flat a little bit. There wasn't really much to dive into aside from like maybe The Last of Us and a handful of other ones that are really stand out. But I mean, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what this sort of leads to with the closure of the store on the PS3 and PlayStation Vita.
I mean, Sony has to start doing something. I mean, like they besides their exclusives, like they're kind of falling off in a lot of other aspects. So I would imagine backwards, like Xbox is killing the backwards compatibility. They're killing the Game Pass, but they still don't have those exclusives yet, where Sony... Like,
yeah, I made a tweet.
Pros and cons for both. So,
yeah, I made a tweet where PlayStation 5 and Sony sort of focuses on like the original IPs, the exclusive games, the award-winning stories like The Last of Us 2 and all those certain things. And then Xbox sort of like has the best deal in gaming with Game Pass. And speaking of PlayStation and Sony, we're going to transition to MLB The Show coming to Xbox Game Pass on day one. I'll let you sort of give us your thoughts on this first.
I mean, Game Pass, like you said, Game Pass is the best deal in gaming. No doubt about that. But this one kind of came as a shock to me. Like, we've seen games come out on day one in Game Pass. Like, you have Outriders, which is a third-party title. But the fact that MLB is, like, a Sony-developed game, like, it kind of blew my mind that it's coming out on Game Pass. You know what I mean? Like, as Xbox users just pay for games as a subscriber, as a subscription, we get the game kind of for free, in quotation marks, you could say, whereas the company that develops the game on their own console. Like, they make their people pay full price for it. It's just kind of weird how that worked out. Obviously, we talked before the show, Microsoft probably gave Sony some cash. They had to. There's no other way that this would have happened like that, right?
Microsoft is certainly sort of catering to the negatives that they've sort of been bashed over the past few years, or like they didn't have any exclusives for the Xbox One and the Xbox Series X so far. So they went out and bought Bethesda, who's arguably made some of the greatest titles the past like 10, 20 years. They didn't have any decent baseball games on the Xbox One. So they went out and bought MLB The Show. So they're certainly catering to what they have been sort of neglected the past several years.
Yeah, and as we've been saying multiple times on this podcast, it's a good time to be a gamer. Like, soon, eventually, Xbox and Sony are going head-to-head with exclusives with all the companies that Xbox has been producing, the quality of exclusives that Sony's been producing. Like, eventually, it's just going to be a battle, and obviously, like, more competitive the market, the better it is to be a gamer. So this is a huge move by Xbox, and honestly, I'm super excited for it because I was debating. I wanted to get MLB The Show, but I was debating. I was like, do I really want to drop $90 on a baseball game that I'll probably play maybe once or twice if I don't like it? But now that it's on Game Pass, yeah, I'm going to be playing it. So how do you feel? I was like a Sony. I know you're not too much into console wars, but I do know a couple people who refuse to buy MLB The Show or something like that because it's coming to Xbox. So like, how does that make you feel now that it's on Game Pass, being like a, more of a Sony consumer?
I mean, if this was, let's say, The Last of Us 2 announced, hey, we're coming to game, or sorry, The Last of Us 3, we're going to come to Game Pass. If something like that happened, I would be a little sour about it just because it started on the PlayStation. But I mean, I would just, you know, go to my PC, download Game Pass for, you know, a year or a couple months and just play it. And then I wouldn't think anything of it. I can still play it. It's not going to be on the PS5 anymore. So I don't really understand all the kind of negative feedback it's getting from some Sony fans. Because I said, I would just, you know, go on my PC, download Game Pass, and then play it there and have the exact same experience I would have had on the PlayStation 5. So
yeah,
it's just interesting to see how it's sort of a little controversial from PlayStation fans who don't want to play MLB The Show 21 anymore.
I mean, like, we're all about, like, the theme of our podcast is unifying gamers, whether you're a PlayStation, Xbox, Stadia owner for all we care. We're all about playing quality games. So the fact that, you know, like, I get it, like, Xbox has their people in their corner that get upset at some Sony stuff. Sony has their fans that get upset at the Xbox stuff. It's just a constant battle. Already, the Stadia guys are kind of just in the corner chilling, so they're okay. But I just don't get it. Like, you can still play MLB The Show on PlayStation. If worst comes worst, like you said, if you really don't want to pay the $90, you just either subscribe to Game Pass. You can play it on your phone. You can play it on your PC. You can play it on your Xbox. You can play it on your, you know what I mean? Like if you don't want to pay the $90 on PS5, you just play it. So it's not like you're losing access to it. It's just, now it's becoming more wide range to more people who enjoy the game that come, like, that are able to play it. So I think it's win-win for everybody. Be like, MLB The Show's a fantastic game. It's probably the best sports game out there. So the fact that more people get to enjoy it and see what an actual sports game is, EA, I'm looking at you. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's I don't see any negative to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's sort of like a little sub category of what we're talking about here. Days Gone, free this month for PS Plus, which is an absolute fantastic game. If you have not played that, I just want to throw that in there.
Yeah, and another thing about the PS Plus, hey, I think what is Oddworld Soulstorm, a brand new game, is actually coming free to PS Plus. So that's exciting too. So those people that are upset about MLB coming to the show, coming to Game Pass, you guys get a brand new PS5 exclusive for free on your PS Plus. So
that's something I would love to see, is Sony utilizing PlayStation Plus with more newer games. I mean, Days Gone came out in 2019, I believe, but I mean, that's sort of like the max. 2019, 2020 is when they sort of put the max bar on games. But I mean, releasing a new game like Oddworld Soulstorm for the PS Plus, I think it's for 2 months actually, which is interesting. But I mean, I'd love to see more of that, where they release newer games on PlayStation Plus or PS Now. I mean, I went on PS Now last night again, and it's literally the same screen I've seen on the PS5 for like 2 or 3 months now. It's the same game as Horizon Zero Dawn, right? Black Ops 3, and it's like the same other, I mean, nothing's changed.
And I feel like if they're gonna, like, we've been talking a couple times about Sony kind of having to answer to Game Pass, I feel like PS Plus is just that answer in its own sort of way. You know what I mean? Like, they have a really good thing going with PS Plus. Like, Xbox games with gold are trash. PS Plus games are always fantastic that come out. PlayStation does do a fantastic job on that. So if they can just build off of that and maybe, like, you know, release like newer games, like you said, on PS Plus, where you get the free game for a month, and as long as you download it, you have it in your library. Like, if they could do something like that, like, I think that would be huge for everybody.
Yeah, they had Final Fantasy, the Final Fantasy remake last month, Days Gone this month. Ever since the PS5 came out, they've really been hitting it home with the PS Plus game. So I'm interested to see what they have planned for that going forward.
Yeah, like I always found myself, like as an Xbox person, I don't care anything about Xbox Live games. It's Gold. I see them get announced, I'm like, oh, these games suck. But I'm always finding myself looking up, like near the end of the month, what the PS Plus games are for PlayStation, because they're always good. Like you always have the one really good one, and then you have one that's like kind of obscure, but it's always really good at the same time. You know what I mean? Like it's not like a title that's no one's ever heard of, where it's someone at least heard of it. So I just feel like Sony's doing a great job with that, and they just need to continue the momentum with that, and that kind of adds the bonus of being a PlayStation user, right? Like Xbox has Game Pass, Sony, it's like, oh, we used to try to be a PlayStation user, you get quality free games every month. So
another sort of subcategory that's a little favorable for me is Ratchet and Clank. They Insomniac Games tweeted on March 28th that it'll be playable in 60 frames per second after a new update next month, and then a few days ago they said, surprise, it's out today. So the Ratchet & Clank that was released in 2016 on the PS4 is now playable in 60 frames per second on the PS5. I have not jumped into this yet. I've beaten the game, I think I texted you last night, I think four times now. I've platinumed it, and I'm absolutely going to go in and check this out before the launch of the new one comes out later this year.
Yeah, you're going to have to let me know how that looks on the PS5. If I'm going to get into a Ratchet & Clank game, now it's the chance, right? Like, it's kind of getting upgraded to a bit more frames per second, which makes it a bit more stable and looks better. So you're going to let me know if you see any difference. I'm assuming you will, but I can't really talk too much on this one because I don't own a PlayStation 5. So I have a PlayStation 4, but it's kind of collecting dust at this point in time. So.
Yeah, the Ratchet & Clank that came out in 2016, it's sort of like a reboot of the series that kind of encapsulates all of the series titles past. Like there's scenes from the first one, there's an environment from I think it's the second or third one, so it's sort of like taking pieces from all the other games and making it into this one massive game, and that's why I'm incredibly excited for the new one coming out. I think it's I want to say my most anticipated game of the year next to Horizon Zero Dawn.
Is that a direct sequel to, like, is it Ratchet & Clank Rifts Apart, I think it's called? Is that a direct sequel to the 2016 one, or is that just kind of its own little thing?
I think it's sort of its own little thing. I'm sure it'll follow it a little bit, but I mean, I think it's its own new story with that new female Lombax character that they keep teasing, and they haven't given us any more information that's hanging out with Clank. I'm extremely excited to see what they have planned for her. And I'm not entirely sure. I'd love to see Dr. Nefarious make a return. I'd love him as a villain,
I'm sure he'll come back.
Mm-hmm. I just can't wait to play this game.
Yeah, I mean, it's your favorite. That's the game you grew up playing as a kid the most. So like, I'm excited to see you play that. That was one game that, like, when I was watching the PlayStation, when they announced PlayStation 5, I was like, man, this game is the one that's going to convince me to get a PlayStation 5. I'm really excited about that game too. I just need to get a PlayStation 5 and find a way to get my hands on one before I can.
Yeah, they're a little hard to find right now.
Play it, but I'm not really in a rush. I know I'll get one eventually, and I'll be able to play all the games whenever I want. So I didn't get into the I didn't get a PS4 until 2 years ago, and I was able to play Spider-Man stuff. So I'm not too worried. But you have to let me know how it goes.
Oh, I'll absolutely be streaming it on our page. I have Ghost of Tsushima currently I'm lost in right now, and then Returnal comes out at the end of April, so I'll probably be grabbing that. And then I think it's 2 weeks after that, Mass Effect Legendary Edition comes out. We have Deathloop coming out shortly.
Wow.
I'm getting a little overwhelmed with content now. We went from having nothing for about 3 or 4 months to just kind of getting slammed with big name releases in the next couple of months here.
Yeah, I mean, none of those games I'll be playing because they're all PlayStation, but you can bet I'll be playing Mass Effect. So you'll be definitely the next couple episodes you'll be hearing me ramp up for that game and get ready and kind of do my research. And I mean, I already know the games by heart. I think I beat them like 4 or 5 times. So, but Deathloop is going to be cool. I'm really intrigued to see how Deathloop works out. Returnal doesn't really catch my interest, to be honest. It's not really something that I would even play if I had a PlayStation. I don't know. It just seems like a Dead Space kind of thing. I don't do those kind of games. So
not much of a horror guy.
No, I know. So I I'm sure you got to let me know how that game is, but Deathloop's one that I really want to see how it plays out, because obviously it's coming to Xbox eventually. So I do want to see when that's coming. We also have my friend actually just sent me a message saying the Luke Skywalker's Lego Star Wars series game has been delayed. So all nine movies were put into one Lego game, and that seems like it was supposed to come out in like April or something, but it's now been delayed. It doesn't say when, but just a quick little update on that. So
yeah, I'm reading here the game developers have promised an update soon. The only Lego game I've played is The Force Awakens, and I actually surprisingly had a great time playing
it. The Lego games are fantastic. If you ever see a Lego game available, play it. Like, they're really, really good. They're just fun games. So,
and this is all nine games,
all nine movies,
yeah, movies?
All nine movies put into one. Yeah,
okay, that I might have to pick that up then, just because yeah. Like I said I've only played Force Awakens after I saw the movie, and I was surprised at how much I enjoyed it, so I might.
Yeah, the Lego games are fantastic. Like, if you can go back and play the Lego Harry Potter or even the Lego Star Wars in general, like they're really fun. You'll enjoy them.
I mean, they're on PlayStation now, so I mean, if I really wanted to, I could go back in there and
exactly. Or they have every Lego game. They have a Lego movie game. They have Lego Indiana Jones. Like they're actually they're really fun. Like they're just fun to just fool around and figure out secrets, stuff like that. So that was one game I was really looking forward to. It wasn't my most anticipated game, obviously, but it was on my list of I wanted to play. So kind of a bummer that I got delayed, but I'm all for delaying games at this point, especially after the Cyberpunk fiasco.
It seems like we're seeing more and more developers releasing this. Hey, all of us here are working hard to make blah, blah, blah this game, but we're going to have to delay it. Ever since, you know, COVID happened and the last year was sort of put a pause and everything. Plus, like you said, Cyberpunk came out and you could tell that it was absolutely not ready to be released.
Like, I'm all for delaying games as long as the game delayed as many times as you need to make sure the game gets right. You know what I mean? Like, obviously there's always going to be the bugs. There's always going to be the server issues at launch, because you can never prepare for those kind of things. But if you need to put finishing touches on it or polish it or figure like the balance out for weapons and stuff like that, delay the game. Don't release a game that's broken, because that will forever tarnish your legacy, Cyberpunk, for example. So,
and like you said, this is nine games, and it's coming to the Xbox One, the Xbox Series X, PS4, PS5, and the Nintendo Switch. So, I mean, that's a lot of just mechanics to work out for various platforms.
It's not, I wouldn't say all nine games, all nine movies, because they haven't released the games for the new, like, since
that's what I meant, Awakens, yeah.
But all nine movies get put into one thing, so it's
a lot going on there.
Trophy hunting, achievement hunting is going to be fantastic, and those Lego games are always fun. So that's I just want to touch base a little bit on that. We're going to spend a little more time on this one, but not too much. Xbox kind of They had their design lab for the longest time, but they closed it down when the Series X launched. I think it's kind of upgrade things where you can kind of customize your own controller. I don't know if you know about that one at all, but it's called the Xbox Design Lab. So you can go online and kind of design, pick your like the color of your controller, what kind of, like, you can individually color each single button. So you can have like a blue and red controller with the A button being blue, the B button being green, the Y button being yellow. Like, you can do anything like that and customize it. Obviously, it adds pricing onto it, but they closed that down recently since the Series X got launched, and they're going to relaunch it. They're just kind of retooling it for the next gen. But in the meantime, they're releasing like newer controllers. So they did, like, I got the blue one. It's called Shock Blue. That one came out with the Series X. They have another one that's pure red. And they just announced another one with that's lime green and camel red. So those ones are really cool too. And if you want to check those out, go on the Xbox Twitter page. You'll see them. But it looks like they're slowly ramping up those controllers in time for the design lab to come out, and you can bet when the design lab comes out, I'm getting a Mass Effect controller. I'm designing my own Mass Effect controller and 7 logo, all Mass Effect stuff all over it. Yeah, so just want to touch base on that real quick. If you haven't heard of the design lab, definitely look into it. If you're an Xbox person and you're looking for a controller, Jesse, I know you might not even get an Xbox, but you want a controller. When that launches, definitely look into it, because you can customize any color you want. You can get your Patriots logo on there for all. You can get a New England Patriots logo on there and get New England Patriots colors. You can design anything you want on the design lab. So,
yeah, you read my mind. That is exactly what I was thinking as you were talking about these custom controllers.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, you can put the Days Gone. Like, if you want to get Days Gone logo, you can upload the Days Gone picture and put it on Xbox controller. Like, that's how customizable it is. Like, they'll let you upload your own pictures. Obviously, it has to get approved through Xbox. You don't want, like, you know, some pornographic stuff or swear words or things like that. But you upload your own picture and they put it on the controller wherever you want and stuff like that. Like, it's really cool. So,
that's certainly a neat little feature to include there.
Yeah, so when keep an eye when that launches. I don't know when that's going to launch, but it's probably be soon. So if you're looking for a controller, definitely take advantage of that.
Yeah, our second video is up on YouTube where we answer 30 video game questions, so you can check that out too.
Yeah. And where can they find that?
On YouTube, just search in the Level 9 Podcast, and you will see our logo pop up right there.
Or you can go on our Twitter page at Level 9 Podcast on Twitter. And I'm pretty sure Jesse has shared the link multiple times on our feed. So you can just go there, click it there. Don't forget to like, subscribe. We're definitely planning on doing some more things on YouTube. So obviously the more support we get, the more cool things you guys will see. So
yeah, the past few months we've reached Spotify, Google Podcasts, YouTube. We're on Twitch now.
Yeah, so we're getting there. Things are coming together. And hopefully when, you know, COVID kind of goes away and then we're all doing more things, we can maybe have a special episode coming up at some sort of store or some sort of studio or something like that.
Yeah, that is certainly the end goal here.
Again, thanks for tuning into another episode of the Level 9 Podcast. Jesse, where can they find you on Twitter?
At Jesse Benoit on Twitter. And where are you?
I'm AlexLango15 on Twitter. And obviously, you can find us at the Level 9 Podcast on Twitter. I believe our YouTube channel is called Level 9. I'm looking it up today. It's Level 9 on YouTube. Obviously, that's our logo. If you need the link, feel free to DM us or go on to our Twitter page. And I don't know if you want to plug in like your video game writing, gamer rant or whatever. You can plug that into if you want.
Oh, yeah. Game rant, the gamer. And then there's three other sports ones. So if you're interested in the NFL, just come to my Twitter and look for me there. I usually spam the feeds with all of my writing there just to
Speaking of that, I seen you recently got on a TikTok too.
Yeah, I started making TikToks about the NFL, just sort of, I wanted to start talking about it, and I kept seeing, I actually saw like a 7 or 8 year old boy on there, and he was just going on about the NFL, and I was like, yeah, this kid can do it, I can do it. So I just started going over and breaking the free agency news that's been going on the past couple of weeks here.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I know that's something in our plans too, to start a sports podcast, so stay tuned for that. Jesse and I are just trying to figure out logistics and when we're actually going to start that, but it's still in the works. So if you like sports or video games, this is the place to tune in. So again, thanks for listening to the Level 9 Podcast, and stay tuned for some more content.